Parable of the householder.
All right, so we're quick review, parable of, we're going to do the parable of the householder today.
Right.
We're finishing up the nets.
You like that wheat and tares, don't you, Chuck?
Wheat and tares is powerful, I'll tell you.
Wheat and tares.
Wheat and tares. All right, let's do a quick review and closure on the net. And we talked about this, just some observations real quick on that. And then we'll do the parable of the householder, which is just one verse. It's a couple of verses there.
Two verses.
Yeah. And then we'll move on to, David's going to be so impressed. Then we will move on to the next parable. Amen. Okay, so here we go. I don't know. We are in Matthew chapter 13.
47:52.
Yes, we're doing yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you weren't here last week. Yeah. We're all the way. Yeah. Okay. All right. Here's some observations from the great net, the dragging of the net. All right. That net being the gospel.
The gospel.
All right. And the world being mixed with good fish and bad fish. We want to be good fish.
Right.
Absolutely. Alright? There's going to be a time of separation. So, just some of the commentary observations that we got from, that I looked at. The world's going to remain divided to the end.
Yep.
Alright? That's basically the parable. You got good fish, bad fish, and they don't get separated until you drag them ashore. And every day, God is dragging the net closer to the shore.
Amen.
Where the judgment and the separation will take. God is a God of love, but he's a God of judgment. It's coming.
All right.
So don't flip out. Just
because
it's going to be okay.
Amen.
All right. All right. You got believers and non-believers going to be caught in the net.
Right.
All right. Good fish, bad fish. All right. The drag net is the tool for catching fish. Like the gospel is a tool for catching men's soul. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples. I will make you fishers of men. We do not discriminate to who we give the gospel to. This is not like fishing with my dad. When you catch the fish that you don't want and you throw it back. All right? You bring them all in the boat. All right.
The angels
going to decide. And I like what our brother said, because he's a net fisherman. He did some fishing in the nets, and Earl was giving us some wisdom, examples in the natural about net fishing. All right. Okay. I mentioned Psalm 78 because this whole idea of the gospel and judgment is all throughout that. And I know we read a little bit of Exodus, because it was a mixed multitude. So we see that mixed multitude from the Old Testament. Now we see it in the New Testament. And so that's why. I thought somebody was getting ready to say something. Nope. Okay. And I didn't read Psalm 78, but I like Psalm 78. I want to just read a couple of excerpts from Psalm 78. And then we will go to the next one. Because we're studying the parables. And I mentioned this last week, but Psalm 78 is wonderful. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. And so I used to ask myself the question, well, what is this parable that they're talking about? And as you go throughout Psalm 78, it is really their history of coming out of Egypt. And that is the parable. And a parable is a story that's happening in the natural or something in history that gives you greater spiritual awareness and revelation. Everything that he did for the children of Israel in bringing them out is a parable, an example in the spirit realm of how God wants us to deal with him and how he deals with us. Verse 7, that they, the purpose of the parable, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Verse 8, and not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And then they just go through the whole history of how Israel rebelled, how he passed judgment on them, how he brought them back. And, you know, I like verse 17. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted their God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Verse 32. For all this they sinned still and believed not in his wondrous works. Verse 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him. So,
don't skip 39.
Oh, I just closed the book. Read 39 then.
He remembered that they were but flesh.
Yes. So, yes. We got to remember that we're flesh, but we got to remember that he made us brand new. So if we're learning anything out of these parables, if we're learning anything out of these parables, is don't be self-righteous. Don't think just because you know him that you're still secure. You got to keep your mind fixed on that good soil, and that's where your success lies. Self-righteousness is like the most fatal flaw of us as believers.
Yes.
Yep.
You can easily fall.
And you don't want to. It's almost like what Paul says. I don't just assume that I've already made this. I keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God. All right? Wake up every day just praising God. I don't ever want to get so comfortable in God that I don't give him thanks.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to wait until my back goes out to realize that I need him. Amen. Stop working on this thought. You know, I'll tell you this real quick, then we'll move on to the next thing. We're going to talk about the parable of the household. So the wife says, hey, let's put a new mailbox up. And I'm like, hey, I am not a handyman. That ain't not what I do. But I'm like, certainly we can put a mailbox up. All we got to do is take the screws out of the thing, right? Yeah. So we go out there, and we're trying to take the screws out of the thing. The screws are all rusted or whatever. Can't get the screws out. So she starts taking a hammer and just tearing the mailbox, the old mailbox, up. And I'm like, that's faith. Because if you tear this old mailbox up and we still can't get these screws out, then we ain't going to have no mailbox.
Well, we did.
We made sure we got our mail for Saturday before we started playing with this thing. All right. So I'm out there being manly man. When I pray beforehand, because I always pray, you know, because I'm like, anything that's dealing with handiwork and tools or a wheelbarrow, I pray because I know I'm going to be challenged. Because I know I need the Lord as soon as I go out there, you know. And I am, and I'm out there working and leaning over or whatever. And as soon as I raise my back up, my back just, I'm like, what is it? You mean I got to stress before I even go out here to do it? Well, so to all the young people or the young person in the room, all right. When you get old, you better remember to stretch. You should stretch. You should stretch. You want. You should. You know what? I gotta warm up before I even get out of the bed. So I didn't warm up before I went out there to do this thing. All right, my back is now just killing me. Yeah. I'm telling my wife, I'm done. That's it. And she's fussing at me talking about, you need to speak positive. I don't hear that negativity. You know, which made my butt hurt then. So then, you know, this is just, you know. So it's a good, and I praise God that my back went out. And I'll tell you why. Because it put me in a position where I could do nothing else but call on the Lord and call my neighbor who has tools.
Oh.
And he
why
came over.
Didn't do anything else?
No. She did do one more thing. She got the heat pad for me. But which is, if I had, because I knew if my back had not gone out, it would have been a long time before I would have called my neighbor. And he's got a grinder that was able to cut through the screws and
get everything done.
Which, you know, I should have just went ahead and called him in the first place.
He had the right tool. Right. If you could do anything.
He got the right tool. You know what? My tool is the Lord.
Yeah.
My tool is the Lord. All right? So I'm just praising God that I'm able to sit up without pain. But anyway, again, just make sure. Little things like that can just throw you off. That pride. It's the pride. You know? And then I got to listen to my neighbor. You know good and doggone well you ain't had no business out here messing around with this mailbox.
He thought it was mine.
Does this mailbox look like a computer to you? Okay. All right. So now, all right. Matthew, let's get back to the word. Parable of the Householder, chapter 13, verse 52. Oh, wait a minute. I missed a verse.
You good one.
51. Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Why do you think Jesus asked if they understood all of this? It's just a little bit important that you understand what he's talking about in the lesson out of this parable. It's just a little bit important. In fact, it's not. It is a little bit important. It is a life and death understanding.
We have to understand it to grow and keep it.
And we have to understand it. Yes. We got to keep pulling that. We got to keep pulling that net in. We got to let people know time is winding up for this foolishness because we are dragging the net closer to shore where the angels will make the judgment.
Jericho.
Well, you might want to think about it too. You got to expand the net.
The net is broad.
Yeah,
the net does not discriminate.
Right.
There will be some discrimination after a while.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's a holy discrimination. All right. Separation. All right, there's going to be a separation. So don't freak out.
No.
God's got it. He's still on the throne. Still on the throne. Just it's part of the plan. Oh, there you go. It is part of the plan. All the craziness, whatever's going to be happening, whatever's going to be revealed, it's all part of the plan. Stay in good ground. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. Just, you know, stay in good ground. Okay. All right. So we want to make sure. Oh, and this is one of the things, especially as a preacher. When I used to give sermons or whatever, my purpose of the sermon. What do you think my purpose of the sermon was as a young preacher?
Gospel.
Yeah. But other than that.
So how
good to preach? Oh yeah. And just get a response.
Right.
Wait a minute. A responsive understanding. Oh, that boy can preach.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
To get an amen.
To get an amen. Because an amen to a preacher is like sick him to a dog.
Don't let
Sister Sassafras say, what? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. He get wild up.
Oh, that's another 15, 20 minutes.
I
never was real good at that. I never could get that.
You run and jump across the floor?
No, but I did put my foot on the pulpit one day.
That pride.
You miss it. Now, when I preach and teach, the most important thing is understanding. Understanding. Do you understand? I already failed because I did not let Roger know and understand fully that we are in Matthew chapter 13. Yeah. All right. So, parable of the householder, verse 52. Only two verses. It's two verses or one verse?
One verse.
There we go. Then, after that, he said unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man, another parable, that is a householder, that bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. What's he talking about here? So look at it in the natural. You got a house, you know, you're a homeowner or whatever, you got some guests or visitors coming out, all right, and you bring out the old and the new.
Well, I think their treasure is the knowledge of the gospel.
Yes.
And the old is the old Jewish way, and the new way is the gospel.
Exactly. Because he's talking to scribes, and who are scribes back in the day? They did more than just transcribe verses. They were teachers. So he said in this parable, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven So not just every preacher is trying to make you feel good. Those scribes who are instructed in the kingdom of heaven, that are led by the Spirit, all right, doing kingdom work, kingdom teaching, those folks, those teachers or whatever, all right, they're going to bring you in their teaching both the old and the new. Some commentaries will say they will bring you the Old Testament and the New Testament. Absolutely. In fact, I think I've got that, and I went and looked at some of the commentaries after I looked at this, because I didn't have any more revelation on this other than, okay, it's all brought together. All right. I like Dave Guzik. You know, that's one of my favorite commentaries. He says it states the old and new represents what you knew before and what you just learned. Okay. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, JFB, I love them. You're going to hear some more from them. They bring out 3 points. A Christian teacher who is taught in the mysteries of the gospel, which they must teach to others. So as the Lord reveals things to you, you reveal them to others. And this treasure or store includes old truths and ever new forms, all right, with ever new illustrations.
Got to be careful what you share with that the Holy Spirit
gives you. Well, you know, you're led by, you know, in the parable, the scribes are doing the kingdom work, all right? And I like this because I made a comment and a statement here with my own teacher. Al, you've been in this class for an extremely long time. Some of you guys have been, I've been doing this for a little while now.
Yeah,
I think my teaching style has changed over the years a little bit.
You see some more now.
Yeah, and as God reveals more, but I've not let go the old.
You still got a little pride in you sometimes.
With you. Some of the old needs to be, you know, I don't know.
How you do that?
I don't know. I know. But you want to build upon, and that's how I've gotten better, praise the Lord, as a teacher, as he reveals more upon that foundation. And I'm hoping what's happening here is, as we're studying together, that you already had a foundation when you came in here.
Right.
And now we're building upon that foundation, and now you're going to be better because of what you're building upon that foundation. All right? Okay. Now, I don't want to get too far into this, but just because you get new stuff, the parable says you don't discredit or discount the old.
Right. Chuck, I got one thing to say about that.
Yes.
You can look at Judaism, but you can't have Christianity without Judaism.
Yes.
We'd have never gotten to where we are.
Because right. Jesus even said to the Samaritan woman at the well, we know that salvation came through the Jews. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So absolutely. We need to continue studying the Old Testament also.
Yes. Absolutely. I'm getting ready to go to the next set. I don't want to take this too far, but even in our worship, I want to make sure, I'm just cautious that we don't discard the old for the new. The old still has some value. And I don't want to, I'm going to say this and I'm going to leave it alone and move to the next parable. I don't want to hold on to the old and discount the new. But I don't want to throw out the old and just study the new. I don't want to get rid of the hymns and just go with the new.
But you can blend it.
But I don't want to hold on to just the hymns and not bring in the new.
It's kind of like a foundation, don't you think?
It is the foundation. And again, the foundation of the hymns is being built upon with something else, but I don't want to take out the foundation.
Right.
I'm leaving that
alone.
Okay. Yeah.
We got you.
Gotcha. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. All right, so any comments from the Zoom crowd?
Yeah,
Nikki.
Nice.